نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي.
Now what happens when we ignore the book of Allah, when we abandon the divine commands? What happens is then we seek shortcuts to attaining our heart's desire. And this leads us to a very important lesson. وَلَمَّا جَاءَهُمْ رَسُولٌ مِّنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ And when they came to them, a messenger from Allah, who is this? Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. مُصَدِّقٌ لِمَا مَعَهُمْ Confirming that which was with them. نَبَذَ فَرِيقٌ مِّنَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابِ A group from the people of the book, that is a group from the Jews. All of them didn't do it, some of them did it. كِتَابَ اللَّهِ وَرَاءَ زُهُرُهُمْ They threw the book of Allah behind their backs. كَأَنَّهُمْ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ As if they do not know. When do you throw something behind your back? When you're not interested in it, when you think it has nothing for you, when you think it's useless, so you toss it aside. Oh, this is not for me, or this is not important for me. And basically, in effect, that's what we've done with the Qur'an. We might not have tossed it aside, but we've relegated it on our higher shelves, occasionally read it, occasionally take it off, dust it, and keep it back again. كَأَنَّهُمْ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ As if they do not know. They've never heard about it. They've forgotten it. Now, when people abandon the divine book, what happens? They seek solace in shortcuts such as magic. And this is very important for all of us to understand. وَاتَّبَعُوا And they followed. Who followed? Bani Israel, the Jews. مَا تَتْلُوا الشَّيَاطِينُ عَلَىٰ مُلْكِ سُلَيْمَانِ What the devils used to recite in the kingdom of Sulaiman alayhi salam. Now this is an important background which you need to understand before we look at the verse. Sulaiman alayhi salam, as you all know, had power not just over human beings and animals and birds, but over jinns as well. You know, the jinns are a separate entity who live in this world along with us. They have some powers that they have been granted are extraordinary for human beings, but otherwise, in effect, they are inferior to human beings. This is why the battle began. This is why Shaitan's quarrel began, because he felt we are better than humans. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted human beings superiority over the jinns, hence the command for all of creation to bow down before Adam alayhi salam. Be that as it may, in the kingdom of Sulaiman alayhi salam, jinns and humans were living side by side. Now jinns have good jinns and jinns have evil jinns. There are satans among them and there are good jinns among them because they have been given free will as well. And the jinns, now what they did was they used to teach people black magic. So Sulaiman alayhi salam, to stop this evil task, collected all their compilations of written magic and buried them beneath his throne. When Sulaiman alayhi salam died, the people discovered those tomes of magic. And it's said that it's Shaitan who incited the people that why don't you dig up his throne and see what lies underneath. Now, when they came up with those tomes of magic, they conveniently forgot the fact that Sulaiman alayhi salam had hidden them there to suppress this evil act, and they started accusing Na'uzubillah Sulaiman alayhi salam of being a magician. So the Jews had begun to make this claim that Sulaiman alayhi salam was a magician, and this was the source of his extraordinary power over men and jinns alike, that he used to do magic. Now, they started coming up with this claim, and when the Quran was revealed, and the Quran mentions Sulaiman alayhi salam along with the other prophets, the modern day Jews in Medina started alleging that look at the Quran, it's claiming that a magician, Na'uzubillah, was a prophet. That Sulaiman alayhi salam, we all know he was a magician, and look, the Quran is saying that he was a prophet. So here Allah is clearing Sulaiman alayhi salam's reputation and telling them the truth about this story. They followed what the devils used to recite in the kingdom of Sulaiman alayhi salam. In other words, the Jews were the ones who used to take magic from the jinns. وَمَا كَفَرَ سُلَيْمَانَ This is a very important phrase. Sulaiman alayhi salam did not do kufr. In other words, magic is kufr. To learn magic, to practice magic, to acquire it as a hobby or just as entertainment is, as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, مَنْ تَعَلَّمَ شَيْئًا مِنَ السِّحْرِ قَلِيلًا أَوْ كَثِيرًا كَانَ آخِرُ عَهْدِهِ مِنَ اللَّهِ Whoever learns anything of magic, whether it's one word, whether it's one way of doing it or the whole details, that is the end of his covenant with Allah. Magic is kufr. Why? Because the magician's trying to play God. And he's trying to harm his victim by unseen supernatural means. مَا كَفَرَ سُلَيْمَانُ Sulaiman alayhi salam did not do kufr. وَلَكِنَّ الشَّيَاطِينَ كَفَرُوا But the devils did kufr. Who were the devils? The evil jinns. يُعَلِّمُونَ النَّاسَ السِّحْرِ Who used to teach people magic. Now, another fitna for the people arose. that in these times, in these ancient times of Sulaiman alayhi salam, two angels, Harut and Marut, were sent to the city of Babylon. Now Harut and Marut were sent as a trial by Allah. And they would tell people, as we learn from the verse, that we can teach you magic, but don't do kufr. This is a test. We've been sent as a test from Allah to see who will succumb to this temptation and who will hold aloof from it. And many of the people succumbed to it and would come and learn magic from those two angels. وَمَا أُنزِلَ عَلَى الْمَلَكَيْنِ بَبَابِلَ هَارُوتَ وَمَارُوتَ. And the magic which was revealed to the two angels in Babylon, Harut and Marut, وَمَا يُعَلِّمَانِ مِنْ أَحَدٍ. Both the angels would not teach anyone, hatta yaqula, till they had both explained, innama nahnu fitna, we are a test, fala takfur, do not do kufr. But what did the people do? They ignored this divine command, and they succumbed to this temptation. فَيَتَعَلَّمُونَ مِنْهُمَا. The people learned from those two angels, مَا يُفَرَّقُونَ بِهِ بَيْنَ الْمَرْءِ وَزَوْجِهِ. Specifically, the magic that they were interested in was the most evil kind, and this was a way whereby you cause a separation between a husband and his wife. There are many forms of magic that I'll just go into. It says in a hadith of Muslim, the throne of Shaitan is on the sea. He sends out his armies to cause trouble between people. In other words, Shaitan has armies of jinns that he's sending out to cause mischief. One of them comes up and says, I did such and such. Shaitan says, that's nothing. Then one of them comes up and says, I did such and such. They're describing their different evil deeds. Shaitan says, that's nothing. Then one of them comes up and says, I didn't leave him till I parted him from his wife. Shaitan draws near him and says, you did well. The narration, it says, he makes him wear a crown. In other words, this is the most satanic form of magic to cause discord between a husband and his wife, or to cause a separation between them, or to cause a fight between them, or to cause enmity between them. Now here let's understand a little bit about the reality of magic, because there are people today who deny the existence of magic. No, it's just superstitious nonsense and it doesn't exist. Remember one thing, that we live in a world with twofold dimensions, material and spiritual, tangible and intangible. Now what happens is, what is magic all about? According to Imam Ghazali, the definition of magic is a contract or incantations are like chants, written or spoken, or something done which will affect the heart, mind or body of one bewitched without actually coming into contact with you. Sihr is something used to describe an invisible influence, the reason for which is unknown. In magic, you experience, when you're the object of magic, you experience unusual symptoms for which there seems no perceptible reason. For example, you will have seen that sometimes people are complaining of health problems. Someone is having splitting headaches, terrible headaches, all the tests are clear. There seems to be no visible symptom for this. So what is the cause? Magic could be one of the causes, but not always. Magic is basically words. Now, words do have an effect upon us. For example, if someone hits me, that's matter hitting matter, so my body will hurt. And since the body and the spirit are linked, that slap will hurt my spirit as well as my body. Magic is the reverse of that. When someone influences your soul, when someone gets to your mind, when someone influences your heart and makes you feel unhappy, depressed, sad or melancholy, this is what magic is all about. And because the spirit and the body are linked, our body suffers as well as our spirit. And sometimes the effects of magic can be so crippling that people really find it difficult to even survive. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Inna min al-bayani la sihrun," that even poetry has a kind of magic about it. Like, you'll have heard about some people that, oh, he's a spellbinding orator, or we were totally bewitched, or we were totally captivated. These words show the effect and influence that words have upon us. We are influenced by words. Like, if someone praises you, you feel good. And if someone scolds you, if someone curses you or abuses you, even if you know it's all rubbish, even then you feel bad about it and you can't forget it. You can't forget it that easily. So in the same way, magic is words recited aloud and sometimes written and sometimes read a certain number of times, because even the number of times that they are read and thought influence us. Now, there are different kinds of magic. Sometimes it's magic upon our thoughts. For example, mesmerism, hypnotism. You must have seen magicians make things disappear. So what happens is, it's visual deception, right? Making a helicopter disappear or locking himself out. Sometimes it's mostly just tricks, but sometimes it seems supernatural. And when it's supernatural, the reason is easy to understand, that person is generally working in conjunction with a jinn. Now let me read out a little bit about jinns so you understand this very clearly. Jinns are intelligent living beings who have been exposed to divine revelation containing both commands and prohibitions and are thereby eligible for either reward or punishment in the next life. Jinns have only a right to dwell in places not occupied by humans, like abandoned buildings and open country. Consequently, the jinn can most often be found in abandoned settlements, the open desert, or open fields. They also occupy places of impurity like bathrooms, garbage dumps, and graveyards. Mystic masters who perform satanic feats often retreat to such places where devils most often reside. It says that jinns may take the form of animals like snakes, scorpions. They may also assume the form of humans. Now what happens in magic is that since the devil is himself vile, if one seeks to gain his favor through the things which he loves, like incantations, oaths, books and magic, disbelief and idolatry, Shaitan will fulfill some of the person's desires. Blasphemous acts are like a bribe to Shaitan. It is similar to the case where a man may give another man money to kill someone he wishes killed or help him in performing some obscene act. Much of these amulets have Quranic verses written in impurities like blood, etc., or some Quranic words written backwards, or other things which please the devil may be written or spoken over them. When that which pleases the devil is written or spoken by men, he may help them attain some of their desires, like removing large quantities of water from some place, or carrying them in the air to other places, or bringing them wealth stolen from the treacherous, and those who do not mention Allah's name on their wealth, etc. Now here we need to understand something very important, that in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the visual transformation, the visual deception first, in the story of Musa alayhi salam. What happened in the story of Musa alayhi salam, the confrontation with the sorcerers? Do you remember? It seemed to them as if the sticks that the sorcerers threw down had become snakes. And it says in the Quran, يُخَيَّلُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ سِحْرِهِمْ أَنَّهَا تَسْعَى. It seemed even to Musa alayhi salam, even the Prophet of Allah was visually deceived by their magic, by their sleight of hand, that the sticks were actually snakes that were writhing. Now, the first thing that we need to understand about magic is that how can we save ourselves from magic? And this is the most important question. What is the protection that we have been taught against magic? And we have been given many cures, many shields against magic. We find from a hadith that even Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had magic done upon him. And the Jews did magic upon him, and Jibreel alayhi salam came and taught him a specific method. Now what I'm going to do is right now just read out the verses. At the end of the class, inshallah, we'll write them down on the board so you can copy it. So for now, just listen. So what are the cures against magic? The best cure, the best protection against magic is to obey Allah. As long as we obey Allah, we are within a fortress. The minute we sin, like the fasiqoon, we burst out. And when you step out of the fortress, the enemy will attack. Now, some people are more vulnerable to magic than others. And who are these people? These are people, for example, who do not obey Allah, who are not praying regularly. The shield against magic is to obey Allah, and especially the farais, that we must be praying 5 prayers regularly. We must be paying our zakat. We must be fasting. We must be doing all that is compulsory upon us. Then to stay away from haram, whatever of haram we are doing, whether it's drinking wine, whether it's taking interest, whether it's gambling, whether it's sinful gatherings, then we must repent from all sins. Because sometimes we fail to acknowledge that we are sinning. No, I don't know why it's happening to me and what did I do to merit this. It's just a warning sign from Allah that you need to straighten out your act. Another very important protection against magic is physical hygiene. I mentioned that the jinns are filthy, especially the evil jinns. Shaitan is filthy. He loves filth. So when we stay in a state of physical impurity, such as not cleaning ourselves properly or making sure our clothes are not clean, then what happens is we increase our vulnerability to Shaitan's attacks. There's a spiritual purity and there's a physical purity, and both are important as protection against Shaitan and as protection against magic. Magic is more effective against people who remain dirty or filthy. Like we learned that the people who are doing magic, like women who do magic, like to do it in their days of menstruation because that's when it's most effective. It's based on filth, it's coming from filth, and it's going to attack filth. So one way to protect yourself from magic is to stay clean, in all senses of the word. This is why wuzu is so important, see? Because wuzu helps you stay clean. Then another very important protection is to read the Quran frequently, especially Surah Al-Baqarah. It says in a hadith that if you read it, then Shaitan cannot enter your house for 3 days. And if you cannot read Surah Al-Baqarah, then fine, get a CD with Surah Al-Baqarah or get a cassette and play it in your house. It says in another narration, do not turn your houses into graveyards. Shaitan flees from the house where he hears Surah Al-Baqarah being recited. Then we find The words that the Prophet ﷺ taught us specifically were the four quls, the mu'awwizatayn. Which are the mu'awwizatayn? Surah Al-Falaq and Surah Al-Nas. These are very important because these were the two surahs he was taught to protect himself against the Jewish magic. Then to read these three times, morning and evening. Then to read the morning and evening du'as. Most of us don't even know that there are specific morning and evening du'as. Or sometimes we do know, but we read them once in a while and then forget. Put them somewhere. Put them on your bedside table, whatever time you get up in the morning. Maybe you skip Fajr, even if you didn't read Fajr, even if you're menstruating. Do not skip your morning and evening du'as. That's asking for trouble. Read them regularly and they will not take you more than 10 minutes to read. And after some time when you become used to them, you'll know them by heart. You must read the morning and evening du'as, whether you're praying or not. Then to read Ayatul Kursi. Another very important of act of protection for yourself is to follow the masnoon du'as for performing certain acts, such as for entering the washroom. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-khubuthi wal-khaba'ith. I seek your protection from evil and from impurity. Then to read the du'a for leaving the house. Bismillahi tawakkaltu ala Allahi wa la hawla wa la quwata illa billah. In the name of Allah, I trust upon Allah and there is no power or authority except with Allah. And you can write this dua and stick it on your door as you're leaving. Now don't skip this dua because when you read this dua as you leave your house, an angel from Allah says, Hudita wa wuqita wa kufita. You have been guided, you have been protected and Allah is enough for you. Now when we enter the house, we must read the dua for entering the house and we must also say Assalamu alaikum as you enter your house. Even if you're entering into an empty kitchen, for example. Despite that, you must say Assalamu alaikum because what happens is, it says in a hadith, if a man enters his house and remembers Allah while entering and while eating, so you've entered, you said Assalamu alaikum in the dua, or even if you didn't know the dua, at least you said Assalamu alaikum. Then you sat down and you said Bismillah before eating. Shaitan says to his companions, there is no place to pass the night and no dinner. But if he enters without remembering Allah while entering, Shaitan says, you have caught a place to pass the night. And if he does not mention Allah before eating, he says, you have caught both a place for the night and dinner. Narrated by Jabir bin Abdullah and collected by Muslim. This is how important it is to say salam as you enter your house. And then when you eat, to say Bismillah, otherwise the devils have entered with you. Now it says in another hadith, whoever says La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu, lahul mulku wa lahul hamd, wa huwa ala kulli shayin qadir, which means there is no God but Allah who is alone without partner, the dominion and praise is His, and He is able to do all things, 100 times will have a reward similar to freeing 10 slaves, 100 good deeds will be recorded for him, 100 of his sins will be deleted, and most importantly, he will be protected against shaitan for the whole day until the night. This is the importance of reading this, and it's just 100 times. La ilaha illallah, wahdahu la sharika lahu, lahul mulku wa lahul hamdu, wa huwa ala kulli shayin qadir. Now these were the acts of protection. Now another act, again, sunnah contains all the protection you need against magic. Eating dates, like it says in a hadith, the gist of which is, whoever ate 7 dates on an empty stomach in the morning, no pain or magic will afflict him that day. Now the reference was to ajwa dates. But if you cannot find ajwa dates, then eat any dates. And if you cannot eat 7, then at least eat 3. Now, another very important point which I mentioned earlier was, what about the levels of influence? Some people are prone to magic and some people are not influenced by it. People who are prone to magic are generally people who are skipping any of these actions that I mentioned, and also people who are very violent in their nature. You'll have noticed that there are people who are very intense. If they cry, then they're crying the whole day. They're laughing hysterically for 5 hours. If they're weeping, if they're upset, they're extremely upset. If they're happy, they're in the heights of delight. So such people also weaken their, or rather increase their vulnerability to the attacks of shaitan. So because the sunnah advocates moderation in everything. Now, this was the protection. What if you're afflicted, God forbid? What if someone is actually the object of magic? Remember, the most important thing for you to remember is never fight magic with magic. And this is something that happens to many people. For example, they're experiencing unusual symptoms. Extraordinary fights are taking place. Because amongst the different kinds of magic, the one that has been mentioned in the Quran is sihr-e tafriq. Tafriq means separation. Where magic is used to cause discord or hatred between a husband and his wife, or to cause hatred between a father and his son, mother and daughter, or, you know, parents and children, siblings, partners, whatever. Now, sihr-e tafriq is the most evil kind of magic there is. How can you tell that, God forbid, if you're experiencing this kind of magic? What happens is that the relationship between two people is suddenly totally reversed. Suddenly. Not that they've always been bickering and then the next day you have a fight with your husband, you go, I knew someone's doing magic on me. That's not the answer. The point is that if the husband and wife have had a perfectly amiable, normal, healthy relationship and suddenly she can't stand the sight of him, or suddenly he can't stand the sight of her and he speaks and she starts fighting, or vice versa, then this could be a sign that someone is doing magic upon them. Now, when you're afflicted, when someone is actually the object of magic, what should they do? Never fight magic with magic. And if someone feels that he or she is experiencing magic, go to a sound scholar who will give you solutions from the Quran and Sunnah, because there are many solutions in the Quran and Sunnah. And when someone tells you shirk, you cannot fight shirk with shirk and you cannot fight magic with magic. Remember, the magician is trying to harm your dunya. Please don't let him harm your akhirah. Don't let him make you lose your iman as well. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us, as I mentioned earlier, man ta'allama shay'an min as-sihri, whoever learns even a little bit of magic. And this has become a craze for our teenagers and our youth today. They're fascinated with finding out about voodoo and Ouija boards and all the rest of it. And this is shirk. And if you even find out about it, if you're not going to practice it, then why are you wasting your time? And if you are going to practice it, then that's kufr. And even learning about it is kufr. The best protection is du'as. Now, I'm going to give you certain verses and a certain protective measure that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us to rid yourself from magic. That you take 7 leaves from the green loat tree. And these are leaves which have like an antiseptic property in them. And this is why we find in the days of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when Muslims died, there was no such thing as soap. So they would use these as a disinfectant. You know, like when someone's sick and they bathe him in a water which has antiseptic in it. So this is the reason for the green loat tree, before you start thinking it's a magical tree. Take 7 leaves from the green loat tree, L-O-T-E, crushed by a stone, add enough water so that you can take a bath. And after A'udhu Billah, reading A'udhu Billah, read the following verses. Okay, what are the verses? Ayatul Kursi, number 1. Number 2, Suratul A'raf, verses 117 to 122. Which are these verses? I'll read them out so you have an idea. وَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَىٰ مُوسَىٰ أَنْ أَلْقِ عَصَاكَ فَهِذَا هِيَ تَلْقَفُ مَا يَأْفِكُونَ. We revealed to Musa, throw down your stick. Then behold, his stick was swallowing all that they had invented. فَوَقَعَ الْحَقُّ. The truth was established. وَبَطَلَ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. And all that they were doing was nullified. فَغُلِبُوا هُنَالِكَ. So they were defeated there and then. وَانْقَلَبُوا صَاغِرِينَ. And they retreated as losers. وَأُلْقِيَ السَّحَرَةُ سَاجِدِينَ. And the magicians were cast down in sajda. قَالُوا. They said, آمَنَّا بِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. We believe in the Lord of the worlds, رَبِّ مُوسَى وَهَارُونَ. The Lord of Musa and Harun alayhi salam. Then to read verses 79 to 82 from Surah Yunus. وَقَالَ فِرْعَوْنُ اُتُونِ بِكُلِّ سَاحِرٍ عَلِيمٍ. And Pharaoh said, bring me every knowledgeable sorcerer. فَلَمَّا جَاءَ السَّحَرَةُ. So when the magicians came, قَالَ لَهُمْ مُوسَى. Musa alayhi salam said to them, أَلْقُوا مَا أَنْتُمْ مُلْقُونَ. Throw down what you are throwing. فَلَمَّا أَلْقَوْا قَالَ مُوسَى مَا جِئْتُمْ بِهِ السِّحْرِ. When they threw down, Musa alayhi salam said, what you have brought is magic. إِنَّ اللَّهَ سَيُبْتِلُهُ. Allah will nullify it. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُسْلِحُ عَمَلَ الْمُفْسِدِينَ. Allah does not rectify the deeds of the mischief makers. وَيُحِقُّ اللَّهُ الْحَقَّ بِكَلِمَاتِهِ. And Allah establishes the truth with His words. وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْمُجْرِمُونَ. Even if the sinners should hate it. And finally, verses 65 to 70 from Surah Taha. And these verses go like this. قَالَ بَلْ أَلْقُوا. Musa said, but you throw down. فَإِذَا حِبَالُهُمْ وَعِصِيُّهُمْ. Then behold their ropes and sticks. يُخَيَّلُوا إِلَيْهِ مِنْ سِحْرِهِمْ أَنَّهَا تَسْعَى. It appeared to him from their magic as if they were writhing. فَأَوْجَسَ فِي نَفْسِهِ خِيفَةَ مُوسَى. So Musa felt fear in his heart. قُلْنَا لَا تَخَفْ. We said, do not be afraid. إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْأَعْلَى. Surely you will succeed. وَأَلْقِ مَا فِي يَمِينِكَ. And throw down what is in your right hand. تَلْقَفْ مَا صَنَعُوا. It will swallow what they have done. إِنَّمَا صَنَعُوا كَيْدُ السَّاحِرِ. What they have done is the trick of a magician. وَلَا يُفْلِحُ السَّاحِرُ حَيْثُ أَتَى. The magician can never be successful no matter where he comes from. فَأُلْقِيَ السَّحَرَةُ سُجَّدًا. The magicians were cast down in sajda. قَالُوا آمَنَّا بِرَبِّ هَارُونَ وَمُوسَى. They said, we believe in the Lord of Harun and Musa alayhi salam. Then to read Surah Al-Falaq, Surah Al-Nas, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ, and Surah Al-Kafirun. After you have read all these surahs, these extracts and these verses, then blow on the water. Drink 3 sips from that water and bathe with the rest, okay? So what you did was you took 7 leaves from the green loat tree, you crushed them, and then you added enough water to the mixture. Then you read all these verses upon them. You take 3 sips from that water, it's pure water obviously, and then you bathe with the rest. You can repeat this 2 or 3 times if need be, and this measure has been specifically mentioned to reduce discord between a husband and his wife. Now, you might wonder, why has this cure been mentioned specifically? Now, I mentioned earlier that magic afflicts the impure. So the purity, physical purity, must be attained first by bathing the victim. Now, there's another dua that I'll write on the board at the end, but listen to it, and it's a very beautiful dua that we've been taught as protection against magic. أَعُوذُ بِوَجْهِ اللَّهِ الْعَظِيمِ الَّذِي لَيْسَ شَيْءٌ أَعْزَمَ مِنْهُ وَبِكَلِمَاتِ اللَّهِ التَّامَّةِ التي لا يجاوزهن برا ولا فاجر من شر ما خلق وذرأ وبرأ ومن شر ما ينزل من السماء وما يعرج فيها ومن شر ما يلج في الأرض وما يخرج منها ومن شر طوارق الليل والنهار إلا طارق يترق بخير يا رحمن. The translation is as follows. I seek refuge in the countenance of the majestic being. Nothing is greater than him, and the refuge of his effective words, beyond which neither can a pious man or an evil person can pass, from the evil of all that he created, of that which came into being from nothingness, and from the evil of all that descends from the sky and ascends towards it, and the evil of all that enters the earth and comes out of it, and the evil of all that comes in any part of the day or night, except if it comes with good, Ya Rahman, O Merciful One. So these were du'as that we have been taught. Then we've been taught specific diets to protect ourselves against magic. Because I mentioned magic affects the body and the spirit. So one way to protect yourself against magic is to be physically and spiritually strong. Honey, as you know, shifa un linnas, is healing for all mankind. So include honey in your diet. And honey is pure. Then black caraway seeds, what we call kalonji. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said it's a cure for everything except death. Because magic is a form of illness. So you can take 3 seeds or 7 seeds. Then even bathing in rainwater is considered effective against magic because rainwater is pure. Then to use olive oil, to eat it and to massage with it, for it's from a blessed tree. Then we find that we're taught that whoever reads the first 4 verses of Surah Al-Baqarah, then Ayatul Kursi, and the last 2 verses, whoever reads them at night, Shaitan cannot enter his house that night and that day, and nothing evil can harm his family. But the best cure is Quran, the best shifa. Now here I'd like to mention something important. Sometimes we become paranoid and we attribute everything to magic. I've had a fight with my husband, oh, it's magic. My child's failed, oh, it's magic. Remember, paranoia is totally discouraged in Islam. And if you spend your life wondering about who's doing magic on you and why they're doing magic on you and just having a nervous breakdown that someone's doing it to you, you will never be able to achieve anything constructive. You will have helped the magician attain his goal, which is to destroy you, mentally, spiritually, and physically. So one of the best cures is taking all these protective measures. Then have confidence and faith in Allah that nothing can harm you unless with the will of Allah. We find Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us specific du'as against depression. Depression is also a terrible mental disorder. Now Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us a specific du'a. اللهم إني أعوذ بك من الهم والحزن والعجز والكسل والجبن والبخل ومن غلبة الدين وقهر الرجال. I seek your refuge from grief and anxiety, from jubni والبخل, cowardice and stinginess, من العجز والكسل, from weakness and laziness, ومن غلبة الدين وقهر الرجال, from the overpowering of debt and the oppression of men. Because if we're going to spend our life just crying about the people, the enemies that we have, although we never did anything to them, then we will never be able to achieve anything. Depression paralyzes your mind. Fear paralyzes you. And we spend our lives just brooding. So the point is, time is precious. Time is running out. Don't spend it wasted just wondering who's doing magic to you and why they're doing magic to you and you never did anything to them. The point is, as long as you take these protective measures, inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will himself protect you. Now I want you to read this verse one more time so you understand the reality of magic. And this is the most important point that needs to be brought out. Let's take a look at the verse one more time. The first thing we learn is the reality of magic. It exists. What is its status in Islam? It's kufr. It's disbelief. Okay? Anyone who learns it, practices it, does it, just reads up on it, this is kufr. We cannot do magic. We cannot learn magic. It's kufr. Alright, is everyone clear on that? The second point we learn, and this is very important, what is the power of magic? Because this is where many people get confused. And they start wondering, and their iman is influenced, and they start wondering, so if Allah is Rabbul Alameen, if Allah is influencing my destiny, how come Allah has granted supernatural powers to other people? So read the next part of the verse that we read. مَا هُمْ بِضَارِينَ بِهِ مِنْ أَحَدْ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. They, that is the magicians, cannot harm anyone unless by the consent of Allah. Now, if you're going to wonder why did Allah allow this to happen, then you may as well ask, wonder, why did Allah allow evil to exist? Why did Allah create shaitan? Didn't Allah know what shaitan was going to do? No, of course he knew. But that's the point of the test. This is the same thing. Murders happen. Terrible incidents happen. Terrible violations of human rights take place. And you wonder, why did Allah allow it to happen? It was a test. It was a test in which the victim will actually be vindicated on the day of judgment. The murderer will pay for his crime on the day of judgment. So those are physical crimes and these are mental crimes, right? The magician is playing with someone else's mind, playing with someone else's feelings, playing with someone else's temperament. He will pay for it, as we will read in this very verse. But the most important point you need to remember about magic is that they cannot harm anyone unless by the consent of Allah. Just as when a murder takes place, it's not that Allah wanted that murder to take place, but He allowed it to take place because this is the point of free will. There is good and there is evil. And the choice is mine. Which path will I take? Is everyone clear on that? This is the most important point of this verse. Don't let your iman be shaken. If God forbid any one of us is the object of magic, what happens is then you start doubting. Why isn't Allah helping me? Why is Allah allowing this to happen? Does that mean that the magician is more powerful now than Allah? It means nothing of the kind. All it means is that the magician chose a path of evil, but the magician can only harm you as long as Allah allows. This is why you will find, and I mentioned, the ways whereby we can increase our protection against that magician. Okay? مَا هُمْ بِدَارِينَ بِهِ مِنْ أَحَدْ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. This is the first important point to remember. This is the power of magic. Only as much as Allah allows, not beyond that. Like the magician cannot kill someone if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allowed. Point number two. وَيَتَعَلَّمُونَ مَا يَدُرُّهُمْ. The people who learn magic are learning that which harms them. وَلَا يَنْفَعُهُمْ. And it does not benefit them. It does not profit them. Now this seems like a paradox. Because what happens is when someone does magic, mostly he is successful. Sometimes people do magic on girls that they don't get married for many years and it happens. But only as long as Allah allows or permits. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us that the magician might have adopted a measure, an evil measure, whereby he attains his short-term goals, but he has lost out, he has learned something which is harming him. Why? Because he's become evil. He's handed himself over to shaitan. He's made a deal with the devil, whether he realizes it or not. And he is not just perjured and lost his hereafter, he's made his life a living hell as well. I mean, think of the sick deeds that they have to do to actually attain their heart's desire. Using blood, using foul impurities, writing the Quran backwards. I mean, these are sick, repugnant acts that no person of sanity would want to do. They're learning that which is going to harm them. It's going to destroy their soul. وَلَقَدْ عَلِمُوا. Now, this is a very important point. Next point. Point number three. They know. They knew this. لَمَنِ اشْتَرَاهُ. Whoever buys it. In other words, whoever does magic. مَا لَهُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنْ خَلَاقٍ. No share in the hereafter for him. This is one of the unforgivable crimes that Allah will not forgive them for this. Because it's one of the supreme violations against a human being's rights that you're playing with his mind, that you're affecting his feelings. Point number one was, they can only harm you as long as Allah allows. Point number two was, it's destroying them in dunya. Point number three was, they have nothing in their akhirah. So the magician has lost dunya and he's lost akhirah. لَبِئْسَ مَا شَرَوْا بِهِ أَنفُسَهُمْ. Evil is that for which they sold their own souls. لَوْ كَانُوا يَعْلَمُونَ. If only they knew. وَلَوْ أَنَّهُمْ آمَنُوا. If they had believed. وَاتَّقَوْا. And been Allah conscious. لَمَثُوبَةٌ مِّنْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ خَيْرٌ. A reward from Allah would have been better. Now, why does the magician resort to magic? Okay, why do people do magic? To gain power, sometimes to take revenge, sometimes just to satisfy hatred, envy. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taught us a solution for envy. If you're envious of someone, ask Allah for that blessing. If you want power, ask it from Allah. If you're upset with someone, then pray to Allah. What the magician did was, he took the law into his own hands. And this is why Allah says, if only they had believed, if they'd had faith in Allah, that Allah will see them through. Instead of taking it into their own hands, that no one's taken my revenge and let me take revenge on her, let me destroy her daughter's chances of marriage or whatever it is. لَوْ أَنَّهُمْ آمَنُوا. If they had believed in Allah. وَاتَّقَوْا and been Allah conscious. Because to cause a fight between any two people is one of the greatest sins there is. It's one of the greatest acts of mischief there is, to cause a fight between two people, and especially a husband and his wife. Remember the hadith that I read out? It's one of the acts of the Satans. It's something that people do casually by repeating malicious comments made by the husband to the wife or vice versa and quoting them out of context. So the husband and the wife have a furious fight that blows up out of all proportion. This is one of the satanic acts, so be careful. If only they had believed and been Allah conscious, لَمَسُوبَةٌ مِّنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ خَيْرٌ, a reward from Allah would have been better. لَوْ كَانُوا يَعْلَمُونَ, if only they knew. Now, if only they knew, I want you to compare it to لَقَدْ عَلِمُوا. Look at the words. They knew that whoever buys magic, he will not have a share in the hereafter. But the verse ends, لَوْ كَانُوا يَعْلَمُونَ, if only they knew. So what does this mean? Doesn't it seem to contradict each other? The point is, sometimes we know something is wrong, we know something is evil, but we don't face up to it. We just block it from our mind. No, I'm not doing it for this reason and this is my justification or whatever. We look at ourselves through rose-tinted spectacles. We come up with a beautiful title for sin, it's for a good cause or whatever. And Allah says, لَوْ كَانُوا يَعْلَمُونَ. There is a difference between intellectual knowledge and knowledge that you act upon. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Now if anyone has any questions. Astrology, numerology are all forms of shirk. I just want to read out that hadith on an astrologer. One who goes to a fortune teller and asks him about anything, his salah will not be accepted from him for 40 days and nights. Muslim. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was afflicted by magic. What greater proof than this do we need? He was the most obedient of people. But the fact that it happened to him was Allah's way of showing us that it can happen to the best of people. These are the measures you take to protect yourself from it. And when he read those surahs, then that magic was removed from him. Okay? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us, remember Allah as much as you can. In the Quran we've read, you can remember Allah standing, sitting, lying on your side. These are just shaitan's ways of making us confine our zikr. So how many of us are going to get the chance facing the Qibla, we're in a state of purity and then we're going to read these verses? Don't confine the Quran. Like Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam when saw Aisha radiallahu anha with his sick girl and he said, Ali jiha bi kitabillah, cure her with the book of Allah. And he used to encourage that if someone is ill, then you can read Surah Al-Fatiha and blow over them. Like before going to sleep, he himself would read Surah Al-Falaq and Surah Nas, blow in his hands, rub them all over his body. So there is a cure in the Quran itself. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us specific words, and these specific words will combat those words which might be coming at you. Magic is words, these du'as are words. It's about the power of words, bi-iznillah, by the consent of Allah. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
الله لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض من ذا الذي يشفع عنده إلا بإذنه يعلم ما بين أيديهم وما خلفهم ولا يحيطون بشيء من علمه إلا بما شاء وسع كرسيه السماوات والأرض ولا يؤوده حفظهما وهو العلي العظيم.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
وأوحينا إلى موسى أن ألق عصاك فإذا هي تلقف ما يأفكون فوقع الحق وبطل ما كانوا يعملون فغلبوا هنالك وانقلبوا صاغرين وألقي السحرة ساجدين قالوا آمنا برب العالمين رب موسى وهارون.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
وقال فرعون ائتوني بكل ساحر عليم فلما جاء السحرة قال لهم موسى ألقوا ما أنتم ملقون فلما ألقوا قال موسى ما جئتم به السحر إن الله سيبطله إن الله لا يصلح عمل المفسدين ويحق الله الحق بكلماته ولو كره المجرمون.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
قالوا يا موسى إما أن تلقي وإما أن نكون أول من ألقى قال بل ألقوا فإذا حبالهم وعصيهم يخيل إليه من سحرهم أنها تسعى فأوجس في نفسه خيفة موسى قلنا لا تخف إنك أنت الأعلى وألق ما في يمينك تلقف ما صنعوا إنما صنعوا كيد ساحر ولا يفلح الساحر حيث أتى فألقي السحرة سجدا قالوا آمنا برب هارون وموسى بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل يا أيها الكافرون لا أعبد ما تعبدون ولا أنتم عابدون ما أعبد ولا أنا عابد ما عبدتم ولا أنتم عابدون ما أعبد لكم دينكم ولي دين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل أعوذ برب الفلق من شر ما خلق ومن شر غاسق إذا وقب ومن شر النفاثات في العقد ومن شر حاسد إذا حسد بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل أعوذ برب الناس ملك الناس إله الناس من شر الوسواس الخناس الذي يوسوس في صدور الناس من الجنة والناس بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل أعوذ برب الفلق من شر ما خلق ومن شر غاسق إذا وقب ومن شر النفاثات في العقد ومن شر حاسد إذا حسد بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل أعوذ برب الناس ملك الناس إله الناس من شر الوسواس الخناس الذي يوسوس في صدور الناس من الجنة والناس بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل أعوذ برب الفلق من شر ما خلق ومن شر غاسق إذا وقب ومن شر النفاثات في العقد ومن شر حاسد إذا حسد بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل أعوذ برب الناس ملك الناس إله الناس من شر الوسواس الخناس الذي يوسوس في صدور الناس من الجنة والناس بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل أعوذ برب الفلق من شر ما خلق ومن شر غاسق إذا وقب ومن شر النفاثات في العقد ومن شر حاسد إذا حسد. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل أعوذ برب الناس، ملك الناس، إله الناس، من شر الوسواس الخناس، الذي يوسوس في صدور الناس، من الجنة والناس.